What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the You Know Ball Podcast. I am your host, Trill Bro Dude, and today this is the preview episode of this week's Patreon episode that we released yesterday. We discussed the ESPN NBA 100 list. This is part of that segment. This entire podcast is 2 hours plus. So if you want access to this entire episode where we talk about the list and then we do over an hour worth of trying to predict Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo's over-unders for this season, and then also give our own over-unders for this season, this upcoming NBA season, please subscribe to the Patreon if you are able to. We just added an extra tier for those of you who might just be interested in joining the Discord. It's only $3 a month, and then we have our other tiers, which get you bonus content and all of that other stuff. So please check that out. Link in the description. Enjoy this clip, and then if you want to hear access to this every single week, these second episodes, please subscribe to the Patreon. So thank you. So now we'll get to what we actually came here to talk about, which is the ESPN NBA 100 list, which is a list that is designed to make everyone online mad so that we talk about it. And it works, every single year. It's really brilliant because, as someone pointed out to me earlier, one of the things that they strategically do is they'll put a bunch of guys who are similar level players or have something in common, and they'll put them like within four or five spots of each other so that people can get angry and be like, oh, why is this guy slightly ahead of this guy? For example, like in the middle of this list, you had like Darius Garland, Tyrese Maxey, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, they bunch together a bunch of guys who are similar kind of players, and then they expect everyone to get mad. Or maybe they're on the same team. They'll bunch together like Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green or whatever. And then it works every single time. Everyone gets mad.
Mm-hmm. It's really spectacular. I personally fall for it every year. So I'm really excited. As I told you off air before this, I actually have done my best to stay away from it. The only one I did see was I saw Shai's ranking, and I wanted to – Sam Presti, you will pay. You will pay for what you're doing. We'll talk about that later. But that's the only one I saw, and that's like very near and dear to my heart as a personal vendetta I have against.
I know you've
fraud,
been,
Sam Presti.
You've been the day one anti Presti tank job 2.0. Yeah. So do me a favor. You have your computer out. Pull your computer up. Bring up the list, and as we go through, we'll talk through it because. The one thing that I wanted to talk about is, and it's something that we talk about a lot on the podcast, but like projecting rookies and trying to figure out who's going to be the best one. So like, I personally, if I'm doing a ranking of 100 best players in the NBA list, like there are rookies I like. Someone that was included on here, Paolo Banchero, someone that I'm very high on, and I think will be a very good NBA player. But it's also impossible to kind of project guys based off of college and summer league. Like, for example, would Kevin Knox have been on this list in 2018 because he was the MVP of Summer League and was like absolutely destroying it there and was a top 10 pick and projected to be really, and now he's not even an NBA player really. So my whole thing with this is like, it's really hard to project. The two rookies that they included on here were Keegan Murray at 95, who also had a very good summer league and was a good college player and is 22 years old. And Paolo Banchero, who's a little bit younger, was the number one overall pick, and they had him at 82. So my whole thing with this is, like, I probably would just leave rookies off this entirely because I don't really think you can judge a player until you see them within the context of an actual NBA game.
Well, and that's why it's so stupid, because you end up having to, like, kind of split the baby here. Like, I would bet money Paolo probably won't be 82, like, if he – is healthy, you know what I'm saying? Like, he'll move up, you know what I'm saying? So you just end up with this ranking that is A, not reflective of where Paolo is to begin with, and B, like, he hasn't played games yet. So just leave it off. Let's just wait a year. Everyone can understand that, you know? Like, it should just be based on what someone's done in the NBA so far and kind of where they're at, you know?
Like, exactly. And also, I would say, like, if you think about how many rookies have genuinely been in the 100 best players in the NBA over the last 5 years or so, it's like a handful. Like LaMelo Ball, maybe you could make the argument that like Mobley was up there last year. Cade certainly wasn't. I wouldn't even say Scotty Barnes was, or maybe he was borderline Franz Wagner. I think all of these guys that were rookies last year were, I think Mobley was the one you could have made the argument for. I don't think there's many. Tatum and Ben Simmons that year were like surefire top 100 guys, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah, it's like guys like that, like Doncic, yeah. You know, like you basically have to be a guy who's on trajectory to like sniff an all NBA team someday. And there's like only like two or three of those guys a draft, you know? And but the thing is also two of them are not the guys you think they are. Like two of the guys who are going to sniff the all NBA team from this draft, you know, one of them will be the top three guys. Maybe it's Paolo, maybe it's Chet, whoever. But there's going to be another one in, like, the 30s. Like, it might be, like, David Roddy or something.
Like, it will
it's
be.
It's going to be someone like that, like, you know?
Yes. It will be Kenneth Lofton Jr.
Right.
Yes.
Like, unironically, like, it's going to be a guy, like, that's my whole thing with the – we've been over this before, but that's, like, my thing with the draft.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, it's true. I mean, like, Donovan Mitchell, like, that year was loaded with guys that made the top 100. It was, like, Tatum, Mitchell, Simmons. And Simmons kind of had an outlier in terms of impact as a rookie – and then not progressing from there. And Tatum and Mitchell have actually gone on to become those, Tatum being an all-NBA guy and Mitchell being a multiple-time All-Star. Like, that, those kind of years when you even get three guys as the rookies, and, like, Mitchell was picked, what, 14th in the draft? Like, he was not someone who was super high. He was not someone who was projected to be really good right away. He was thought to be, like, a raw athlete type that would have to mold into the player that he became, and he was pretty good instantly. So... So there's definitely it's definitely harder to predict. But overall, like if you're going to include rookies, I was fine with the two that they chose just because I do think that like you said, like if Paolo's healthy and he's from the jump, I think the Magic are going to be better than people expect. And I think that because the fact that like of all the prospects in this class that are healthy this year, he's probably the one that has the chance to be that LaMelo Mobley Tatum type impact guy from the jump, just because I think he's in a good situation. He's got a lot of really good defenders around him. He's kind of like, if he is the guy, they're kind of ready to hit the ground running right when he gets in there. And also in addition to that, like even if they only win 25-30 games, like it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that he's not having a positive impact. They were a pretty lowly team last year. So, and then Keegan, like, I just think that Keegan is also in a good situation for himself. He's 22. Like, I would imagine he has an impact right away. Although I think most NBA players, especially defensively, are almost always negatives. Even a good defender like Keegan, like, I'd be pretty surprised if defensively he was like a positive next year. Like, I think he'll probably be a neutral type guy as a wing defender. Like, that's really tough to come in right away and be a positive guy.
Well, and also, it's like not. I mean, I know who's the Kings coach now, Mike Brown, right? Like,
yeah,
he's a pretty good defensive coach. So maybe that's changing.
I think
like,
so.
It's also just a tough situation. Like he's surrounded by negative defenders. You know what I'm saying? Like to have Fox in front of you and Domantas Sabonis behind you is tough on defense. Like,
that's real. It doesn't get much worse than that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, but anyway, to the list. Did you want me to go through these one at a time and go? Them or do
yeah some- we'll do 100 okay
away okay
Bogdan no but in all seriousness I'll list off some guys that I thought before we get into who was included. I'll list off two guys I thought should have been included that were not included at all.
Okay.
And that was Franz Wagner, who I believe if you're gonna include Scotty Barnes, he was not included at all. If you're going to, and I know this is, I've said this 100 times, if you're going to put Scottie Barnes this high on these lists, if you're going to put Cade Cunningham this high on this list, Franz at least needs to be on the list.
He's better than Robinson. I'm sorry. Like, I love Grant Williams. He's better than Grant Williams. I'm sorry. Like,
Yeah.
Like, Franz, that's surprising to me. Because also, Franz is also like a very loud version of good, you know what I'm saying? Like he's good in a way that a lot of people notice, so I'm surprised that, you know, they didn't put him on there, to be honest. That's
I think the fact that he was on Orlando, like Paolo will not be as impactful unless he is that generational rookie. There's no way Paolo's going to be as impactful as a two-way player as Franz Wagner is next year, and he's on here. Like you're including the rookie from the Orlando Magic, but you're not including the guy who was arguably the second best rookie last year. I would probably put him second just based on pure production from what he was at last year. I think he just needs to be included in some capacity on here. I personally think that he was a major exclusion that should, and it's going to age really poorly because I think that at the worst, he's going to be in the all-star conversation for his career. I think he has potential to become an all-star. Like, yeah. I think that's a really bad look. And like, he's going to be 21 this year. It's not like he's like really young. Like he's going to be close enough to his prime that I think he should have been included. But so that was a bad exclusion. And then the other guy I thought should have been included just from like, you want to talk about a pure impact standpoint. And look, maybe you're projecting forward because keep in mind, this is for this upcoming season. They're not saying this is based on last year, whatever. They're trying to project forward and they're trying to say like, okay, this guy, whatever. I just feel like if you're going to include Grant Williams, you have to include PJ Tucker because like PJ started on a conference finals team last year, was playing big minutes, was an important part for that Miami team that got swept in the first round the year before. And the only real difference between them getting to the Eastern Conference finals and getting to game seven is the fact that they got PJ Tucker and Max Strus. Like that's really it. And I think that like PJ is going to have, he's been on winning teams. He's been like the fourth or fifth guy on conference finals teams. He's on another really good team again. Like, if you're ranking the top 100 players in the NBA, there's not many guys that are – there are not 100 players that are more impactful than him.
Yeah, again, I mean, we're talking about is he better than Mitchell Robinson? And I just think unequivocally the answer is yes. You know? Like, I don't know. It's – the list is so weird, though, because I'm going through and I'm being like, ugh. He made it, and then the next guy, it's like, wow, he should be higher.
Like, yeah, exactly. There's a little bit of confusion there on my part as well. So I don't mind projecting forward for guys like Grant Williams and Mitchell Robinson as much because they still are young. And like being like, these are guys we think could be in the conversation for the top 100 players, so we'll put them at the end. Mm-hmm. But I had three guys I didn't think should have been included at all. Okay. And my main beef with this one is I don't think Caris LeVert should be on this list at all.
Yep.
He was number 80.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what has Caris LeVert done in his career to like justify consistently being on the top 100 list? 2 years ago, they had him like top 50.
Hold on. To your credit about how you said they put guys together that are similar. They put Caris LeVert within two and four spots of Lonzo Ball and Ben. And all of those guys just don't play basketball, so I guess they do. That was mean to Lonzo. I'm sorry. That was very mean to Lonzo, which was hurt. But the other two, I don't know. Ah, that's tough, man. I'm not a Caris LeVert guy. I've never been a Caris LeVert guy, and it's kind of weird. He's like one of those guys where it's like, really? We're still doing the Caris LeVert thing in 2020?
Exactly. It's like, how many times does he have to prove over and over that he is not an impactful winning type player? And like, he's not even like, and everyone will just say, well, he's a sixth man. And I'm like, but even some, like Jordan Clarkson was on here and I'm like, I probably wouldn't have Jordan Clarkson on my list, but like, I think I'd rather have Jordan Clarkson, who's like a legit shot creator off the bench, even if it's giving you inefficient scoring, than Caris LeVert. Cause I think that there on any given night, Jordan Clarkson might drop like 40 points. Like that's very, very rare from Caris LeVert. That's like once or twice a year. And he's a better playmaker and defender, but like not so much that like, I'm like, oh, I need Caris LeVert on my team. Plus injuries. He's always, always hurt. Like he just is always hurt.
Yeah. And just like on top of that, like, I feel like we should probably move along, but I just think you could almost get into like a bigger philosophical thing of like, does this man like shit even really like matter? You know what I'm saying? Like anymore? I mean,
there's one that matters in the NBA, or two that matter in the NBA.
I mean, like, I guess Jordan Poole did it.
Yes. But
I'm not even really sure. Like, I feel like the Jordan Poole thing is more just like, he's a warm body on a team with Steph, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know about that. I think when Steph goes to the bench, it's important to have a shot creator like Jordan Poole because they don't really, because he functions well on the ball and off the ball. And they've never had that when Steph is there. Durant was amazing, but like he wasn't doing what Jordan Poole does.
Is Jordan Poole a shot creator though? Like he creates his own shot.
Sure.
I don't know if I would say if he's a shot creator, you know,
so,
what I
I kind of look at it like he's like a diet Steph in that, like, when you can run those actions for him off the ball and he can shoot coming off a screen or a pin down, and the defense still has to be concerned with him. And I think with Draymond running the offense, it's kind of like Clay, him, all movement shooters to some capacity that are legitimately good at shooting the ball off of movement, like, do create open looks just kind of in a roundabout way. They're not the ones in that system specifically, and the Heat system are like the two that I can think of.
I just feel like, you know, like, is it that much different to have like Jay Crowder in the corner and not give up something on defense? You know what I'm saying?
Jay Crowder should have been included in here too. I didn't even see him on the list.
He's not, unless he's higher than...
No, I'm pretty sure they excluded him as well.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. No, I mean, Mikal Bridges is 49. There's no way like he's there. But that's wild, you know. But, I mean, again, like Grant Williams, I guess, you know, interchangeable. You know, he's like a better, older version of Grant. You know what I'm saying? They play the same role, basically. But
right.
I don't know. I feel like he probably should have. I have no problem with Grant making it. I think Grant was like very important, like anyway. But like a lot of these guys we were talking about, definitely had a Caris LeVert, man.
Like, yeah, like best player, best bench player on a Finals team. Well, Derek White or him. Like that's call important.
Call every team that, let's say, made the conference semifinals last year and offer them, say, okay, you have a choice between having Jay Crowder on your team or Caris LeVert. All of those teams pick Jay Crowder. I'm sorry. Like
I think every team except for the Jazz, the Thunder, and the Spurs are taking Jay Crowder. They're like, oh, we can have Caris LeVert be the tank commander too? We already have Sexton, Blake Wesley, and yeah.
At least Sexton like scored 30 a game, you know?
Yeah, he's at least had that insanely efficient scoring season, that, and he's young enough that you can still talk yourself into him. Right. Caris LeVert's like almost 30. Like, I feel like people don't really talk. Like, he's like 28. Like, I don't know. But two other guys just real quick that I thought should not have been included. Or you could make the argument that they should or should not have been included. I don't think I would have included Buddy Hield. Like, I think that Buddy's like a unitasker shooter type guy who has a streaky shot. Like, I think that the volume of threes that he puts up is important, but he takes a lot off the table defensively. And, like, if he's running any offense, your offense is probably not going to be great. Like, he's not as much of a movement shooter as people think he is. He's kind of more of a spot-up guy. I might not have included him on my list. And then Josh Giddey was the other guy that I had where I was like, I still feel like I need to see more before I'm including Josh Giddey at 81. Over whoever. Although I will say Buddy Hield was like way higher on these lists before. He was always in like the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Yeah, he was 51 last year and now he's 90. So
what happened that was different? He had a down shooting year. Like that's what happened. That's who he is.
Happened. Yeah. 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 He went from 39 to like 36 and they're like, yeah, okay, 40 spots. Out you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't crazy about either of those. All right, so let's go with the guys who I thought were too high on this list. So I have a handful of guys.
Sorry, real quick, before I cut you off. So I'm going through this list, and it's got all of the guys, like, with in action shots, like, in their, like, jerseys, like, scoring, you know, doing whatever. And then I'm scrolling through, and I get to Malcolm Brogdon at 87. Him in a suit. God damn. Come on, man.
Isn't he giving a speech?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I just feel like I think it's from his sixth man of the year or I don't know. I don't know what it's
rookie
or,
of the year. Like,
but like fuck man, come on. Like don't have him. I'm going to see him in a suit enough this year. I don't need more of that. Like come on.
They specifically put that in there just to fuck with you.
They really did, because literally every other player, even fucking Kristaps Porzingis, is him in his stupid Wizards jersey. Like
that he played like 14 games for.
Yeah. Sucks. I'm mad. Anyway, sorry, I cut you off.
No, that's actually a great point. Is yeah. Yeah. You know, he's once again 16 game player. Not for Brogdon.
A literal 16 game player.
All right, so too high. I'll name a few guys here I thought were too high. I'll just name three. And I think they're similar kind of players. They're not even So I had Spencer Dinwiddie, who is 69. Nice. Like Spencer Dinwiddie, I like Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, I think earlier in his career, you could have made an argument he was in this kind of tier as like a bench shot creator or like a fringe starter type on a bad team. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that Spencer Dinwiddie at some point as a scorer, playmaker, decent defender was a top 70-ish player. This version of Spencer Dinwiddie, though, like, would not have him that high.
Yeah, well, just to give the folks at home a little context of the two guys he's around that I think will kind of help you feel out where he is on this list. So below him at 70 is Al Horford. Above him at 68 is Desmond Bane. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, those are two guys who give, like, very genuine impact. I mean, one, the Luka thing is real, right? I think that that's kind of what's happening here. I know you feel differently than me. I think that I'm blanking on his name. Jalen Brunson is a Luka merchant. We're going to find that out in New York. I think this is another instance of that, of Spencer Dinwiddie kind of getting hooked up to the Luka rejuvenation machine and kind of, you know, because everyone's looking around going, well, the Mavericks have to have good players. Look, they made the conference final. And you it can't just be Luka, can it? And I have you, it literally is.
It's one man.
It is one guy. Like, Dorian Finney-Smith is nice. Like, what's his name? Maxie can get hot.
Maxie Kleba.
Yeah, can get hot. But
Dorian Finney-Smith was also not included on this list.
He's better than Spencer Dinwiddie.
100%.
Yeah, right.
He shoots like 50% from the corners. He's a good defender. Like, he's a top 100 player, I would say.
I guess that's the problem is, like, I'm noticing a lot of this. There's a lot of stress on guys who can kind of fucking cook, getting, like, way higher. And, guys like Dorian Finney-Smith, Jay Crowder, Grant Williams, those guys get pushed to the very fucking back, you know? Like,
I see why. This was co-written by Ball Don't Stop.
he was hooping. Kyrie, number one, question mark. leading the people out of the vaccine malaise we've all been living under for 2 years.
The mental prison we've been in.
I'm actually have an appointment to go to the fair to one of those like spinny rides, like a centrifuge. It's gonna shoot the vaccine to the bottom of my feet, spinning me around, and I'm gonna cut my feet open so the vaccine shoots out. And
wow.
Because Kyrie has shown me that it's bad. And then Jaylen Brown retweeted it, which doubly reinforced that it's bad.
Oh, you guys got so lucky you avoided Toronto in that.
I pretend I do not see it. I will never be referencing that again. It's gone from my memory.
Just wait for it, dude. You guys, those guys will be teammates again soon in Brooklyn. So.
Alternating set. I really do genuinely like jail. It's very disappointing. It was very disappointing.
I know it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. But oh well.
Is what it is, bruv. But kind of going back to what you said, mm-hmm. You want to talk about in this conversation of no, he's number 69, Al Horford 70. Al Horford should absolutely be ahead of Spencer Dinwiddie. That's a joke. Like, if we get even close to what we saw from Al Horford in the playoffs, way, way better player than Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons at 76, I know he has not played, and I know it's impossible to project. Right. But, like, first off, they're just fucking with us putting him at 76, right?
Yeah.
The Philadelphia 76ers? You're telling me that's not a bit?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. They were just, like, trolling him. I mean, he's literally been an All-NBA player. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I guess he, like, did have a catastrophic injury on his back, but it's not like it was the Paul George thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
You know, it's not – it wasn't the Gordon Hayward injury. And, like, those guys are still pretty good players, you know. In Gordon Hayward's case, overpaid, but still a good player. You know, like – so Ben Simmons will probably be pretty good when he plays again, you know. Like,
exactly.
It's just – you just probably – gonna like see the nightmare shapes in the playoffs again, but like that's a problem for Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs. So.
But then again, like, why do you have Russell Westbrook ranked at 65?
That's great. That's the one I wanted to talk about if you didn't touch on it.
Like you have Ben Simmons, who's bad in the playoffs for sure, but you have Russell Westbrook, who's bad in the regular season and the playoffs at 65.
Right. I mean, I got shit for, like, and rightly so. It was probably wrong of me to kind of imply that I'm not sure Russ is a Hall of Famer, and everybody kind of like went back to me and said I was like too hung up on him recently. But like, really, man, he's fucking awful now. Like,
he's bad.
Be in the league. Like, I'm like, really. And it's sad to say because like Russ is like a very exciting player. He's a really cool guy. Like, I like his personality, but that's also like making this tough, I think, because he's just not a good player anymore and like maybe should be out of the league, like, to be perfectly honest. Like,
it's very reminiscent of Allen Iverson. Like, honestly, yeah. Like, where Iverson's decline was like very sharp because he did not want to adjust what he was as an NBA player. At least, I guess, in theory, you could be like, well, Russ is still athletic enough that he could try on defense, but like, he doesn't. He won't ever do it. Like, he's
that's the KOC thing. Like, if he runs off, but what does KOC always say about Russ? That if he
ball screens,
if he commits ball screens and he commits to defense, like, that's not fucking happening. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's great in theory. If Robert Williams started shooting 40% from three tomorrow, he could play. He'd be a great player. Like, it's not gonna fucking happen. I'm sorry. That actually happened at some point. Robert Williams has a great stroke. Anyway,
enough. Enough of that.
You do your Tyrese Maxey thing for one episode. I could do a Robert Williams thing.
It's true. I did. I actually kind of just did that to fuck with you. But no, it's actually funny. A year ago, there was a tweet where I had tweeted, it's actually really normal to look up Jamal Murray's rookie per 36 and compare them to Tyrese Maxey. And then someone said, you're becoming like a Celtics fan with Rob Williams. And I was like, they're both really good.
We were both right.
I was like, wait, what? No, he's good. Like,
I've been a Rob truther. That was last season was big for me in my wins. Cause one, I was a Rob truther. Two, I was also a Kemba truther and literally said we should trade him for Al Horford and got a ton of shit. Like, so.
Well, maybe you could just give Rob your own knee if you love him so much.
My knee might actually be worse, though. I can't. I've got runner's knees, and I can't even. Anyway,
Rob, if you're subscribed to the Patreon, Sam will give you his knees.
I will get. Yeah, Rob, if you get in on the Patreon, we only need like $2,000. That's like nothing to you, man. Like, we could do that for
that's,
sure.
That's cake. We literally just need one Celtic or Sixer to hear this. And
Like, okay, Russ is 65. 66 is Miles Turner. 4 is Jeremy Grant. Like, come on, man.
There's a really, another really bad one here that stood out to me in that I thought it was way too high. And that was Nikola Vucevic at 57.
What, ahead of Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry, Tyrese Halliburton, Rob Williams. And then the next one is Tobias Harris at 56.
Which, like, Tobias should probably be a little bit lower, but, like, I would still rather have Tobias 100 times out of 100 over Vucevic. Yeah.
Oh, no. Vuce is cooked, man. Like, he's not, like, horrific. Like, he's a playable NBA player, but I don't know if he should be a starter. Like, he should probably be, like, a rotation big.
Especially with the glut of rotation bigs that we have right now, with like, we know he can't play in the playoffs. The only time that he was even remotely viable last year as a defender was when they had Alex Caruso and Lonzo Ball at the point of attack, or two of the best point of attack guard defenders in the NBA. Yeah. And now you want to try to have him do it with, I don't know, Io Desumi and like, who's good, but like, I don't know. I'm very skeptical that like a DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Vucevic defense can ever be positive.
Yeah.
And if you're putting Vuce this high, I feel like he has to have some impact on defense. Because if the 3-point shot has died down a little bit, he's not going to be getting his bullshit little post ups like he used to in Orlando because of DeMar. Mm-hmm. So what do you like? What is his value? A pick and pop big who can't defend and sometimes can't shoot?
It's not good. Not great.
Not the 57th best player in the NBA in the current NBA.
Yeah. No, that's tough, man. That's really bad. I kind of sandbagged Jamal Murray too at 50. That's
I know he was way too low.
Yeah, I know he was hurt, but like, come on. 48, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Sam Presti is going to prison. I can't believe that they're letting him make up injuries for Shea. I feel like Shea comes in to the Thunder practice and they're like, hey, go to the x-ray room. And they just meticulously look at everything. And the second there anything is even slightly out of line, it's like, oh, sorry, man. Like, we got to be careful with this. You should probably sit for about 6 months.
They just announced another one today.
Sam Presti is going to go to jail. He's going to go to prison. I have evidence that will lead to the arrest of the fraudulent general manager, Sam Presti.